case you're wondering, that was my mother-in-law playing the piano. So, all right. If you got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. We're going to be looking in there at a couple things we're going to be doing today. And hopefully, it will be a blessing to you and to me. I don't often do this, but what I'd like to do is just start with a word of prayer this morning. I know we usually start the service with prayer, but I rarely start my sermon with prayer, so I'd like to do that this morning. If you don't mind, let's pray. Father, this morning as we look at your word, Father, I pray that you would touch our hearts and lives. May your word be a light to our eyes. Lord, may you teach us through it. May you change us by it. Lord, may I, as the pastor and the preacher, be faithful in sharing these words. Faithful to your word, faithful to your witness, faithful to this church and community. And Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This week we're talking about investing for vision, investing with vision. Next week we're going to finish up this series. We're going to talk about investing for victory. So we're going to be looking at a couple things. We've talked about God's greatest investment being you. We've talked about that return on investment. We've talked about holding all things in trust for Him. Last week we talked about rock solid investing, about trusting in the Lord rather than in riches. We talked a little bit about tithing. I'm going to talk a little bit about more about that today. We talked about training our children in the way they should go and even helping each other to see how important it is to learn the secrets of generosity, of sacrifice and commitment. This week we're going to look at investing with vision. A few years ago, a guy named Andy Stanley, he's Charles Stanley's son, he wrote a book called Visioneering. In that he said this. He said, a clear vision, along with the courage to follow through, dramatically increases your chances of coming to the end of your life, looking back with a deep abiding satisfaction and thinking, I did it, I succeeded, I finished well. I think a lot of people go through life feeling unsatisfied, feeling unsuccessful, feeling like they've not finished well because they don't have that sense of vision. That sense of not only, I think a lot of people have dreams. A lot of people have dreams. Y'all ever have dreams? I'm not talking about the ones you dream at night. I'm talking about the dream that says, you know, when you're 15 and the first time you step up in a football game in high school, and you get hold of the ball and you're running down the field, and before you get tackled, you think, boy, this is great. I'm going to get to the NFL. I'm going to play for the Colts or whoever, you know, and that's my dream, right? I think all of us have those kind of dreams of once or another. Have you ever had a dream like that? Not playing professional football or something, but have you all ever had a dream? What's the difference between dream and vision? Dreams stay up here. Vision is when we give feet to those dreams. It's when we act upon them. And a vision that's informed by God is a vision that says, God, not only do I have a dream of what you can and want to do, but Lord, I'm going to put my effort in behind it. Vision for a true believer means looking ahead, letting the Lord inform our imagination. Looking at our family, looking at our church, looking at even at our world and asking, Lord, what do you want to create? What do you want to change? What do you want to build? And how can I be involved in that? Investing with vision means embracing God's vision and getting behind it in every possible way. Now, 2.5 years ago, we talked about a challenge to go. The mission statement for that event still holds. In your bulletin, you have this thing. It's called the Challenge to Go Commitment Card. A couple years ago, we filled that out. I've got some information on that I'm going to share with you in just a minute. But our vision through the Challenge to Go was to empower and establish the church to minister effectively in Spencer County and to become a local church with a global mission. Our goal was to reach the lost and meet needs around the world as God calls us and enables us. In your bulletin this morning, that pledge card's there. I want you to set aside for a moment. We're going to talk about it later. But I want you to know it's there, that we're continuing that commitment. And we want to challenge you to continue that commitment as well. But for now, let's look at what it means to invest with vision. Number one, if you're following the outline, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. Jesus starts John 14, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2 says, but now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. I don't know about you, I'm glad that we won't be set ablaze. I'm glad the waters won't drown us. But wouldn't you rather just not go through the waters or the fires at all? I don't know about you, but I've experienced that life is full of trouble. As a matter of fact, another verse in the Bible tells us that man's days are short and full of trouble. Well, let's talk about it. We live in a time when more churches than I care to mention are cutting budgets, laying off staff, cutting programs, and some of them even closing doors. We live at a time when, even though we hear unemployment is dropping, nationally, it's still 7.3%. In Kentucky, as of August, unemployment was 8.4%, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The national underemployment rate, according to the Economic Policy Institute, is about 14%. So even though you've got 7% unemployed, you've got another 14% underemployed. That means they don't quite make enough to really make it. You throw into that a government shutdown, throw into that gridlock in Washington, fear over the impact of new health care laws, and there's a lot of fear and uncertainty in our world. And then there's the problem of the churches. Not only is church membership down, but, for example, Southern Baptist membership is declining. Baptisms are at the lowest rate in 60 years. In America, 3,500 to 4,000 churches close their doors every year. A recent Barna study says that 2.7 million people are leaving the church every year. That's a lot of folks. Only 21% of Americans are in church in any given week. Not long ago, that number was about 30%. I remember when I first started hearing the statistic back in the early 80s, it was around 35 to 40%. There's a financial pressure that we're in. It's a struggle that our churches were facing. We haven't even talked about the moral issues and the family issues and the political mess or whatever else. I'm just telling you, there's a lot that we could be troubled about. But God says, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10 says this. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. There's going to be trials and there's going to be troubles, but what we need to do is not let our heart be troubled. Number two, trust in the Lord. There are plenty of things out there to trouble us, but don't let those things worry you. Place your trust in the Lord. John 4 says, don't be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Isaiah 26 says, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. To trust in the Lord means to look past our troubles, and it means to give him glory. It means to change our perspective. We get focused on our troubles, don't we? I pulled out my checkbook this morning. Anybody ever pull out your checkbook and look at the balance and look at your bills and get a little depressed? Has that ever happened to you? It happened to me this morning. Matter of fact, I'm going to confess. My wife's not here, so I can confess this. I went in and I looked up all of our accounts online. You know, I can look up, you know, we got an account here, an account there, an account the other place. And then I got really depressed. You know what? We can focus on the little things, or we can sit back and say, you know what? I've been there before, and God has always provided for me. I can take the little picture and focus on the problems, or I can take the big picture and trust in the Lord. What are you trusting in? See, God wants us to focus on Jesus. Focus on the Lord. Psalm 18, verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. You see, though we live in uncertain times, we serve a Lord who is certain and sure, and he will not change. He will not falter or fail. Catherine Marshall told a story one time about a friend of hers named Marge. She said, my friend Marge had an experience aboard a plane bound for Cleveland waiting for takeoff. As she settled into her seat, Marge noticed a strange phenomenon. On one side of the sun of the airplane, a sunset suffused the entire sky with glorious color. But out the window next to her seat, all Marge could see was a sky dark and threatening, with no sign of the sunset. As the plane engines began to roar, a gentle voice spoke within her and said, "You have noticed the windows." He murmured beneath the roar and thrust of the takeoff, "Your life, too, will contain some happy, beautiful times, but also some dark shadows. Here's a lesson I want to teach you to save you much heartache and allow you to abide with me in continual peace. You see, it doesn't matter which window you look through. This plane is still going to Cleveland. So it is in your life. You have a choice. You can dwell on the gloomy picture, or you can focus on the bright things and leave the dark, ominous situation to me. I alone can handle them anyway. The final destination is not influenced by what you see or feel along the way. Learn this and act on it, and you will be released and able to experience the peace that passes understanding." What side of the plane are you looking out of? Are you looking to the Lord and trusting Him, or are you looking out and seeing how dark it is? I hear a lot of pastors, and I know I just sort of went through that and talked about the troubling world that we live in. But you know what? No matter how troubling the world is, I got to tell you, our Lord is bigger than any troubles in our world. Our Lord is bigger than any troubles in your household. Our Lord is bigger than any problems in government. Our Lord is bigger than any problems that the world faces. Our God is King over all of creation. And we, if we will take our eyes off the problems and focus on the light that He gives us, can see our way past those things. And we can have victory. And we can see with vision what God wants us to see. God wants to free us from the darkness and show us the light. You see, what we need to do is we need to focus on the Lord and we need to focus on His provision. 1 John 5:14 says this, "This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him." Basically, he says, if we stay in God's will and if we ask according to His will, we know that He hears our prayers and responds to them and gives us what we need. Now, I will be the first to announce to you that sometimes what I think I need and what God says I need can be two different things. But I have found in 54 years of life that whatever situation I'm in, if I trust God through it, He brings me through on the other side with a deeper faith and a stronger hold on Him and more assurance of what God will do for the future. See, that's investing with vision. Let me bring this home just with a particular relationship to our challenge to go and to what we have done as a church. In 2011, we pledged $12,743 towards the building fund of this church. We also pledged $16,498 towards missions. In 2011, that first year we did this, and we didn't even do this for a whole year, we gave over $11,000 towards improvements and almost $11,000 towards missions. We almost met our goal that first year. The second year, we gave almost $10,000 for improvements and another $8,000 for missions. So we're over our goals, over what we pledged already. In 2013, so far this year, we've given another $4,000 for improvements and another $7,000 for missions. Right now, our building fund has about $29,000 in it. In 2011, we spent on missions. Now, this is just from the Challenge to Go Missions Fund. We spent $7,649. We spent about $9,000 on improvements. In 2012, we spent almost $5,000 in Challenge to Go, another $5,000 in missions. So far this year, we've spent $10,000 in Challenge to Go missions. You understand? We have a vision and we've been applying that vision, spending the money you guys have been giving to us to go different places and to do different things. In the past years, we've taken in about $25,000 for missions and paid out about $15,000. Right now, we have about $6,300 still in our Challenge to Go missions account. Our total, now that's just Challenge to Go. That's something separate, okay? We do that apart from everything else. Some of you may not realize this, but we have a budget that exceeds $200,000 a year. That keeps the lights on, that pays the salaries, that provides books and, you know, the things we need to keep the heat and lights and all those kind of things on. That's our basic budget's over $200,000. But because our budget is over $200,000, one of the things that the church determined to do even before I got here was that about 17% of our budget every year goes towards missions, local, foreign, and international. So 17% of our budget this year projected to be about $36,000. And by the way, we're over budget this year. And because our missions giving is percentage giving, we're actually going to exceed our budget giving towards missions this year. That's apart from challenge to go missions. Okay? So we're giving more than you'd ever think towards missions. And that doesn't count special offerings. For example, just this past month, just in September, we realized over $550 for various missions-related special offerings. That, again, that doesn't count challenge to go. That's different stuff. That's helping a church that got flooded. That's other special offerings that we do on a regular basis for missions. So far this year, for those of you who don't know, I counted this up this week. So far this year, I have fielded over 50 calls for assistance from people in our local community. And I will tell you, we don't help all of them. We can't. And I don't mean we can't because we always run out of money. I mean, sometimes there, would you believe there are people who abuse the church? So we can't help them, but we fielded over 50 calls. Now, let me tell you something. See, you wonder what's going on. Last year, the entire year, January 1st to December 31st of last year, we only fielded 30 calls. This year, we're not even out of October, and we've already fielded 50 calls. I'm pretty sure that already this month we've helped two families. I think last month we helped five. This is missions giving. At the same time, over the last 2 years, we've increased our general budget offering. We've been doing the challenge to grow. We've also increased our general budget by about $20,000. And this year, we're over budget so far this year by about $8,000. Thank you, Lord, and thank you, Plum Creek Church, for your generosity and for your kindness. Let me also tell you, this past year, we had 21 people join our fellowship. That's from October last year till about this time this year. That's about 15% of our average Sunday attendance. Eight of those joined for baptism. That growth rate puts us at the upper end of Baptist churches. Did you know that one in five Kentucky Baptist churches baptized no one in the past calendar year? Zero. Baptisms in the Southern Baptist Convention are at the lowest level they have been in 60 years. We could and should do better. But let's look at it another way. For Southern Baptists as a whole, there's one baptism for every 50 members. Here, by the grace of God, we're averaging one baptism, and I'm going to go by attendance. We're averaging one baptism for every 15 or 20 members. So we're beating the national average as far as Southern Baptist churches. But how many of you think we could do better? See, investing with vision means seeing what God could do and getting behind Him. And I want to encourage you to get behind these things. The reason that the Challenge to Go commitment card is there is because I know some of you weren't here when we did the Challenge to Go. I know some of you here may be thinking, hey, what does that mean and can I get involved in it? Yes, you can. That's what that's for. We're going to talk about that again in a minute. Anybody here follow basketball? I know this is a bad state to talk about basketball. How many of you know what a give and go is in basketball? You all know what a give and go is? A give and go means one guy gets the ball, okay, and he passes it off to the other guy, that's the give, and then he runs for the basket, right? It's pretty simple. And then what does the guy who just got the ball do? He passes it back to him. That's the give, and he goes to the basket, and then he gets the ball and shoots it, right? Real simple play. But you know what the guy who gives the ball has to do? He has to trust that the guy he gives it to is going to pass it to him so they can score later on. Right? The whole essence of that is trust. In a church, we sort of have a give and go thing going on with God. You see, what we have to do is we have to hand the ball off to Him. We have to say, Lord, here, this is your ball. I'm just going to run toward the basket, and I'm going to trust you to make the pass and make the play and make everything work. And I think God has done that for us in the last 2 years. And I'm very, very thankful for that. I'm very thankful for that. In this church, we practice that give and go. We give to the Lord and we start doing what He calls us to do. We head for the basket, or we head for Haiti, or we head for Canada or for New Mexico, or we open our church to do VBS. We start digging in and doing the work, and we trust that God, that if we've thrown things His way, if we said, Lord, here are the resources, here is our life, here is what we want to give You, here is our commitment, and we're going to do the work along the way, then we trust that He's going to bless it. You see, we believe that a firm foundation gives us a great reach for God. And God has called us to begin our part in extending His reach around the world. Number three, if we're going to invest with vision, we need to let His truth transform us. We need to let His truth transform us. He says, you know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said to Him, Lord, we don't know the way to where You're going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. If He really is the way, if He really is the truth and life, then we need to walk in Him, and His truth will make a difference in us. Romans 12:2 says this, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So there are three things we need to pray here. All right, you ready? If we're going to invest with vision, we need to pray three things. We need to pray, first of all, Lord, open our hearts. Lord, open my heart. Ephesians 1:18, Paul says, I pray for also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. You may not know this, but one of my privileges is to serve on the evangelism committee for the Long Run Association. Plum Creek Baptist Church is part of the Long Run Association, which is basically the Louisville Association of Churches. So there's about 130, 140 churches on there, and they asked me to be a part of the evangelism committee. I don't know why. And a couple of weeks ago I met, and I've got to admit this, I got frustrated with them as I was listening to them talking. These were pastors and leaders, and they kept explaining, reasoning about why they couldn't do anything. They kept sort of saying, well, you know, only God can bring revival, only God can bring spiritual awakening. Let me be real clear, they're right. Who brings spiritual awakening on a community? That's God's job. Who can revive people that are dead? That's God's job. Who brings new life where there's death? That's God. Who does the transforming? That's God. How many of you are Star Trek fans? Anybody Star Trek fans? I'm a big Star Trek fan. Has anybody seen the new Star Trek movie? Anybody? All right, well, I'm going to give you an illustration from it. Okay? There's a scene in that movie where Captain Kirk is running around. He doesn't know what he's going to do and all this kind of stuff. And Spock stops him and says, you can't do this. And Kirk turns around and says, Spock, I don't know what I should do. I only know what I can do. Isn't that a great quote? I don't know what I should do. I only know what I can do. I think sometimes we all get so worried that we don't do anything. We look at the baptism statistics and we say, oh no, Southern Baptists are dying. You know what? Southern Baptists aren't dying. We're still the largest denomination, the largest Protestant denomination in the country. We're the only ones I know of at it that take baptism seriously. That when we look at it, everybody in the Southern Baptist Convention is going saying, we got to fix that. And I hope every pastor in every pulpit in the country that Southern Baptist isn't saying, well, I hope Southern Baptists do something. I hope they say, because we're independent churches, they say, we need to do something. I don't know what we should do, but I know what we can do. And what we can do is get behind this idea of investing with vision. And saying, God, we believe that You're in control. We want to get behind what You want us to do. We want to open our hearts. We want God, we want You to bring a spiritual awakening. We want You to bring revival. And Lord, if we're asking for that, then we're going to open our hearts to You and we're going to start praying. And we're going to start falling on our knees. And we're going to start saying, God, give us revival. And we're not going to say, give it to everybody else. We're going to say, God, give me revival. Lord, renew my spirit. Lord, make me right with You. He asked us to prepare the way. He asks us to prepare our hearts. He asks us to do what we can and to trust Him to do what only He can do. See, God is saying, toss me the ball. Do your part. And then trust me for the rest of it. We need to unite our hearts with the heart of Christ. We need to bend our knees in humble prayer. We need to love the people Jesus loved. We need to reach out to them the best that we can. Let me ask you, are the eyes of your heart open? Are you preparing the way? Or are you waiting for something? I think a lot of times we're waiting for God to do something, and God says, take a step of faith. Are you ready to take a step of faith? The Lord is giving us opportunities right now through our missions effort, through some of the things that we're doing right here, through My Hope with Billy Graham, through Operation Christmas Child. We need to pray. I'm going to talk about those in a minute. Because see, we need to pray for open hearts, and then we need to pray, Lord, open our hands. Lord, open our hearts and begin changing us from the inside, and then put us to work, Lord. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Let me suggest that everyone here can be involved in the work of outreach, in the work of sharing the faith, in the work of missions, in the work of evangelism, whatever word you want to use. And I think some people get afraid of the word outreach. Some people get afraid of the word evangelism. Let me tell you this. How about we just say, how about every one of us say, I'm going to be involved in the work of sharing my faith with other people. I'm going to tell people that I believe in Christ. I'm going to tell people that church is important. I'm going to tell them that Jesus died for them and that He has a hope for them and that all they have to do is trust Him and follow Him. I'm going to start planting seeds and believe that God will bring the increase. We need to open our hands. We need to be involved in letting the truth transform us and transform our world. For example, getting involved with Operation Christmas Child. Now, Operation Christmas Child, the collection's coming up in a couple weeks. I think we put the things in the bulletin a week ago. We'll have them back in the bulletin in 2 weeks, not next week. In 2 weeks, we'll have them back in the bulletin. But Operation Christmas Child is just basically saying, we want somebody who's never had Christmas to have an opportunity to have Christmas. It's packing up a shoebox with a toy and some basic needs and sending it around the world. And then Samaritan's Purse puts in there a Bible study so that the kids can go through that. A lot of the kids who go through this end up going through a Bible study and trusting Christ simply because we spend a few bucks and put a shoebox together. That's one of the things we can do to reach our world. Another thing you can do is, and I'm going to challenge you again and again and again. If you haven't, we've shared these before. These are My Hope bulletins. Inside of them, there's a Matthew list. The Matthew list is the people you're praying for that they're going to come to Christ. The people that you're praying for, the people that you're considering, maybe even asking over to your house and saying, let's have coffee. And I just got a couple of DVDs this week from Billy Graham Association. Have them over for coffee. Say, hey, listen, let's just talk a little bit. As you talk, say, hey, there's something important I want you to see. And throw in a DVD. How hard is that? Throw in a DVD and let a football player, one of the guys is a football player, let a singer. There's different people on these DVDs that talk about what Christ has meant a difference, how Christ has made a difference in their lives. And then when the DVD is over, you turn it off and you say, let me tell you my story. And all you have to do is tell them, this is, you know what, the same Jesus they trusted in, I trusted in when I was 14 years old or 15, or for me when I was 17 years old. And God's taken my life and made it new and made it clean and fresh, and you can have that too. Are you willing to trust Jesus? That's what we're asking you to do. That's My Hope. We're asking you to do that anytime in the month of November. And you can do it at home. We're going to do an event or two here at the church. You can do it at your workplace. I've already talked to somebody in the church who said that they wanted to do this in their shop, and I said, fine, go ahead. I'll give you the disc. I've got a portable DVD player. They can use my portable DVD player. They can watch it wherever they want. Maybe you're thinking, I don't know how to invite people over to my house. We don't live in a hospitable age, do we? We don't know our neighbors as well as we used to. We don't invite people into our homes. Maybe you need an excuse to do that. I've got those Operation Christmas Child kits, and they're Operation Christmas Child party kits. I've got 9 more of them, I think. And they'll be available. I'll have them here next week. And it tells you in there, there's detailed instructions on how to do Operation Christmas Child Party. and just invite some of your friends and neighbors and say, hey, listen, what do you think about helping poor kids around the world? How many of you have ever said to somebody, would you be willing to help poor kids around the world? And they say, no, I hate poor kids. Then just say, hey, listen, we're getting together at my house. And we're going to have a few snacks, and we're going to pack a few boxes. And then as they're doing that, you can plug in the video, and you can share it, and you can share your faith and testimony. Open your hands. Do what God lays before you to do. Get involved with My Hope. Get involved with Operation Christmas Child. Get involved in, you may not be able to go to Haiti because they're getting ready to go in just a couple weeks. Get involved with going to Canada. Get involved with giving so that others can go. You know what? We said there are things that only God can do. Only God can bring revival. Only God can bring spiritual awakening. But you know what I found? He's chosen to work through us. Which seems so backwards to me. He could do it all himself, but he's chosen to work through you and me. You and I are important in the process. We have to plant the seeds. Where are you planting seeds? Where are you going to invest? Only he can change hearts and lives, but he works through us. Have you opened your hands? Are you willing to do the work? Are you willing to drive a nail in Jesus' name? Look around. On the outside of this, you can see that we've got new windows on the outside of that window right there. Hopefully we're going to be doing some work pulling those windows out. We've been trying to get somebody to come look at those so that we can repair some of the windows around here. You know what? That's working for Christ. The folks that are going to Haiti, you know what they're going to be doing? They're going to be working on building a school. Listen, sometimes sharing your faith is with a hammer and nails. Sometimes sharing your faith is with the words from your mouth. Sometimes sharing your faith is just being there with someone who's hurt and broken and needs somebody. Are you willing to do the work? Are you willing to fix a meal for Jesus? Are you willing to host a party for Jesus? Are you willing to drive a nail for Jesus or drive a car for Jesus? We need to pray, Lord, open our hearts. We need to pray, Lord, open our hands. And we need to pray, Lord, open our handbags. I couldn't think of another H word, and I know guys don't carry handbags. So, guys, you can substitute wallets if you want there. We need to pray, God, open our pockets. In your bulletin, there's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. I want you to do something here. I'm going to read it through you, and then we're going to go back through it. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Take your pen or something, and circle the word rich. You will be made rich. How often? In every. Circle every. You'll be made rich in every way so that you can be what? Underline generous. You'll be made rich in every way so that you can be made generous on every occasion. You can circle that one too. And through your what? Through your generosity. Underline that one again. That will result in thanksgiving to God. Do you see what God's saying? Listen, if we want to be a blessing to others, if we want to be blessed ourselves, if we want to be rich in everything, then the purpose, the reason that God gives us riches, whether they're riches in family, riches in money, riches in time, whatever He happens to make us rich in, God says to be generous with those things. Open your handbags and give to God what He's asked you to give. Now, a lot of people want to bargain with God. They want to say, well, God, I'll give you something if you'll give me something in return. Like, I'm getting ready to start a new business. Lord, in the first year I make $50,000, Lord, I'll give you 10%. And you know what God says? God says, just give me the 10% along the way, whatever you make. It doesn't matter. Because the Bible says if you're faithful in the small things, you'll be faithful in the big things. A lot of people want to wait for the big things. I found that God doesn't give us the big things until we've been faithful in the small things. Investing with vision begins with the local church right here at Plum Creek. It begins by giving through the local church. You can see your money make incredible returns. We've had the privilege of adding 21 people to our fellowship in the past year alone. 8 of those by baptism. We had those 8 baptisms here in the church. 7 people came to Christ up in Canada. Others hopefully in New Mexico and different places where we've gone. God is returning your investment. Through your giving here and through what we're able to do with VBS or Trunk or Treat or upcoming outreach events. Through your generosity, families in need get help. Through your giving, missionaries get paid. Now, that challenge to go card, remember that? Everybody pick it up and wave it at me, because I'm hot. Okay? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take it. I want you to put it in your Bible. I want you to take it home with you. I don't want you to do anything with it today. What I want you to do is I want you to take it home and pray about it. I want you to pray and ask God, how do you want me to invest? How do you want me to invest with vision? Listen, the tithe, that's that 10% that we ask you to give to the church on a regular basis. That's what pays the light bills. That's what we base our budget on. That's what we take that 17% for missions. But you know what supports our missionaries going out, like to Haiti and to Canada, our trip to Wrigley, different things like that? You know what pays for that? That's our Challenge to Go missions. You know what pays for putting new windows in? How many of you think we need new carpet? We need new carpet. And you know what? When we do new carpet, we're going to need to replace the flooring because the flooring's sort of weak in here. Okay? And that's going to cost us $20,000, $25,000 to replace all that. That comes out of that extra giving that you do. And I want you to pray about it. I don't want you to go home and say, the pastor said. I want you to go home and take out this card and lay it in front of you. And I want you to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You can give any way you want. We set this up so that you can give towards improvements here locally. You can give towards missions, whichever way you want to do it. You can set up and say, I'm going to give $100 a month, $50 towards missions, $50 towards improvements. You can set it up any way you want. That's up to you. But I want you to go home and pray about it and ask yourself, how do you want me to support our church and our outreach around the world? Listen, here's what I believe, and here's what I've seen. God, our God, the creator of the universe, is at work right here at Plum Creek Baptist Church. He's at work in you and in me and in our community as we reach out and do the things that God has called us to do. He's working in our communities. He's working in our families. He's working in you and He's working in me. And what He's asking us to do is to catch that vision of what He wants to accomplish and to get behind it. Let me ask you today. Is God working in you today? Is He saying to you today, hey, listen, He's talked about money, He's talked about missions, He's talked about this and that and the other thing, but you know what? The number one thing I hope you heard me talking about is I'm not talking about what we're doing, I'm talking about what Christ is doing through us. And what God wants in all of us is to first of all trust Him. Do you trust Christ? Do you have a relationship with Him? Do you have a church home? You know, every person who calls and asks us for help, that's one of the questions I ask them. Do you have a church home? Sometimes they tell me and I'll refer them to that church. I'll do things like that. But it's amazing how many people call and they don't have a church home. I can't imagine that. Having a church home is such a powerful thing. If you don't have a church home, I would encourage you. Come and make Plum Creek your home. Good people, good place, and a great Lord. Let me ask if you would stand. This is our invitation time. If God's speaking to you, if there's something you need to do, you come and share it with us. You can kneel down at the altar and we'll certainly let you pray. If you need to trust Christ for the very first time, if you need to come and join the church, then you can do that. Also, let me remind you that right after church, we're having a spaghetti, right? Spaghetti lunch next door to raise money for youth so they can go to camp this year. And guess what? Their camp is a missions camp. So we believe in missions. We believe in sharing our faith. We believe in doing the work that God has put in our hands. And so you come and have some spaghetti and help our youth to go to camp next year. Okay? Let's pray. Father, I'm reminded even as I come and even as I've shared this message that, Lord, you don't need a thing from us. Lord, we need everything from you. Lord, everything we have, everything we own, everything we earn, Lord, is because of your grace and mercy. Lord, I pray that you would give us a vision for what you want us to be. Lord, a vision for reaching our world, a vision for changing the lives of friends and family. Lord, I pray that even today you would change lives and hearts in this place. For Lord, above all things, we need you. So Lord, we come as your humble servants, asking that you bless us, asking that you speak to hearts and lives and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. What are you saying, Jerry?